We will try to finish John chapter 16 this morning. We finished through verse 11 last Sunday morning. We're still where Jesus is talking to his apostles before his crucifixion. He started this in the upper room by washing their feet, and he's carried this on through as they left the room and are walking to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he will be arrested. But he's continually trying to prepare them for the things to come. He's telling them in verse 7 that the Comforter is going to come, and he's going to reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And we dealt with that quite a bit last Sunday. And we talked about the fact that every good Bible lesson talks about those things. There's things that we do that are sinful. There is a way to contact the blood of Christ and to be made righteous by him. And we need to be aware of that, because judgment is indeed coming. And we understand the Spirit still works the same way today, but yet he does it through the preaching of the Word, the revealed Word. Verse 12, he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Jesus said, there's a lot more things that you guys need to know. In fact, there's no way that I can teach you everything right now that you need to know in order to take the gospel to the world. And we can understand that. You know, when we sit down and maybe you have a Bible study or anything, we can sometimes become overwhelmed. You ever become overwhelmed? You ever just had too much put on you at one time and it's like, hey, I can't remember it all? I can remember years ago I would go to polishing the pulpit, and there at first I would try to go to as many classes that I could go to, and then I realized I'm not getting anything because there's so many things swimming around in my head. So I decided I can't do that. I've only got to pick what I want and focus on it and try to learn it. And that's what Jesus is doing. These guys can't handle everything right now, but I'm going to tell them some things. I'm going to speak to them the things that they just absolutely have to know right now. And then I'm going to send the Spirit unto them, and the Spirit is going to continue to teach them all the things that they in turn need to teach to other Christians. And we need to understand that Jesus is the one speaking. Jesus is the one still speaking today through his Word. Hebrews 1 verse 2, Christ hath spoken unto us. He's the one. This is his Word. He says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Again, these guys didn't know everything yet. Jesus hadn't revealed everything yet because they couldn't handle it. It was just way too much. But when he comes, he will continually guide you. Just like we put on the screen during the sermon in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said, I could be exalted above measure because of the revelation that has been given to me. God supernaturally endowed him with the knowledge that he needed to know in order to go about and establish congregations and convert people. And the Spirit did that in a miraculous way. The Spirit today has revealed, past tense, all truth unto us. And he did that through him working miraculously through the apostles to carry out the message and to write down that written word. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. And we talked about that a little bit last week. The Spirit's job was not to come and talk about himself. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. The Spirit's job was to come and talk about Jesus and remind them of the things that he had said unto them. Ties back into chapter 14. Again, Spirit doesn't speak to us directly. The Spirit spoke directly to them and indirectly to us through the Word of God. He says, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Again, proof that the Spirit doesn't operate the same way today. He says the Spirit's going to show you things to come. He's going to tell you, and you're going to have the ability to see what's coming in the future. There's no one that has that ability today. Not one person walking. Some may claim it, but they don't have that. People, we can't see into the future. All we can see is what's right in front of us. We may think we know what's in the future, but we don't know. You know, there's a lot of scriptures, and if we had more time, we would go to it, but you might write down 1 Peter 1, 10 through 12. Will help us to understand this. Peter's telling the same thing. 2 Peter 1, 19 through 21, Scripture doesn't come. It's not any private interpretation. People don't get to pick and choose. The guy speaking didn't get to pick and choose what they wanted it to say. But men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Word was transferred through the Spirit unto us. Galatians 1, 8 and 9, there's not another gospel. There's only one. It's the one that the Spirit conveyed to the apostles. Jude 3, earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all delivered. It was delivered through the apostles and again transferred onto scrolls and continually transferred even today into the Bible we have in our hands. The Spirit did indeed guide them into all truth. And today we have all truth. We have all truth. We have the truth that will set us free, according to Jesus in John chapter 8, verse 32. And this is the way that He chose to do that. Verse 14, He shall glorify Me. The Spirit's job working through these apostles, the Spirit's job even today working through us through the Word of God, is to glorify Jesus. Everything is about Him. Everything. He has the preeminence. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is everything. Again, and that was the job of the Spirit. For He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. You realize that each member of the Godhead had a job? We have looked multiple times throughout the study of John. Jesus spoke on behalf of God, right? He said that 100 times probably up to this point. Whatever the Father saith, that's what I say. Now Jesus is telling us that, hey, I came in the flesh, I spoke on behalf of God, but I'm leaving. And now the Spirit is coming and He is going to speak on behalf of Me. So each one of those members of the Godhead had a very specific job to carry out. And Jesus wanted those people to understand that. He wanted us even today to understand that that was the case. He says, verse 15, all things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of Mine and shall show it unto you. Again, saying the same thing. The Father allowed Me to show these things unto you. I am in turn allowing the Spirit to show these things unto you. We are each fulfilling our role. He says, verse 16, a little while, and you shall not see Me again. And again, a little while, and you shall see Me, because I go to the Father. Now, before we try to explain that, verse 17, some of the disciples said among themselves, what is this that He says unto us? A little while, and yet you shall not see Me. And again, a little while, and you shall see Me again. And because I go to the Father. They don't understand. He's teaching them all of these spiritual truths, and again, they don't understand. They don't have the Spirit sent unto them at this point in their lives to guide them when that supernatural revelation. He's trying to teach them these things, but they just yet don't get it. They don't understand. They're still thinking with a physical mindset. Verse 18, they said, therefore, what is this that He saith a little while? We cannot tell what He saith. Well, Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask Him, and He said unto them, do you inquire amongst yourselves of that I said a little while, and you shall not see Me, and again a little while, and you shall see Me? Why are you debating this back and forth? I've told you guys over and over again that something's about to happen. Church, what's about to happen? He's about to what? He's about to die, right? He's about to die. He's about to leave them. That's what this whole thing's been about. I am about to be gone. And you're not going to see Me anymore. But in just a little while, you're going to see Me again. Well, what's He talking about there? He's going to be gone, but then He's going to come back. He's going to be resurrected, right? You could take this and you could apply it to that fact that Jesus is going to die. He's going to go to the tomb, but then He's going to come back. Well, then He's going to leave again. And He's going to ascend to heaven, but just in a little while, He's going to come back through His Spirit on the day of Pentecost. He left them the first time for 3 days. He left them the second time for 10 days. But yet He's always coming back to help them. And the point that He's trying to get through to these guys is, hey, you're not going to be left without help. It may just be just a little bit, but I'm always going to be with you. I'm always going to be there to help you guys through whatever it is that you may face. And He went again trying to comfort these guys. He says, verse 20, verily, verily, I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. talking about his impending death. You guys are going to see me on the cross, and you're going to shed tears, and you're going to weep and wail, and it's just going to be a horrible time for you. But the world is going to be happy as they can be. The world is going to rejoice. And did that happen? Yes. There was only a very few people that were saddened over Jesus being on the cross, but the world thought they'd won, right? Man, I mean, you know, those Jewish people that were crying out, crucify him, and they thought they'd won. You know, Satan maybe even thought he'd won. And everything is good, but he says, you're going to be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. You know, it's going to seem like all is lost. It's going to seem like everything has come to an end and all these things that you have forsaken for me were useless. But I'm going to change that. I'm going to defeat death. I'm going to be resurrected. I'm going to come back, and then you will know, Romans 1 verse 4, that I am the Son of God. It will be an absolute proof. And all the world's sorrow and all the world's rejoicing and your sorrow is going to be changed. Because people are going to know. He says, in fact, verse 21, it's going to be like a woman when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. He compares this to a woman, and you guys remember, I can remember my wife when she was giving birth. It wasn't the happiest time in the world, was it? You know, she wanted to kill me. Probably threatened to do that a few times. I don't remember. It's been a long time. But once that baby's born, once that thing that you have set forth to accomplish happens, then what happens? You forget all of it, right? You forget all of it. When I had my kidney stones and I was in the hospital all those times last year and my nurses were saying it's worse than having a baby, I said, yeah, it probably is. I don't have anything to show for it once it's over. At least if you have a baby, you got something good. I didn't have anything. But that's what Jesus is saying. It's just like that. You know, there is a moment of sorrow and pain and anguish that you've got to go through with this thing with me. But the outcome, it's going to be worth every bit of it. When I rise from that grave, then all of that pain and sorrow and tears, man, it's going to get you through. It's going to help you to overcome every bit of that. And they needed to know that. They needed to understand that. He says, verse 22, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I'll see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. What you think about this? Jesus resurrected. They go around. The church is established on the day of Pentecost. They go and they preach about the resurrected Lord. Could anybody take their joy away from them? When they were brought before the council and they were said, you guys can't do this anymore, what'd they say? We can't help but to preach the things we have seen and heard. When they beat them for their faith and their preaching of Jesus, what did they do? Acts 5, verse 41, they left rejoicing that they were counted worthy of suffering on His behalf. Nobody could take their joy anymore because everything that they were going to have to endure was going to be worth it because He defeated death. And therefore, you and I can defeat death, and that makes everything that we even have to endure today worth it in the end. Nothing is more important than our salvation. And Jesus wants these guys to understand that. Nothing was more important than Him going to that cross and for being able to provide that salvation. And they were going to recognize that and realize that in just a few short days. But it was going to be hard to get to that point. He says, verse 23, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. When all of this thing culminates and the church is established and you have the Holy Ghost and you're baptized with that Holy Ghost and you now have all of these things I have promised, you're not going to have to ask me anything anymore. It's going to be provided. But it's going to be provided, but you can still talk to the Father. But things are going to change. Now when you talk to the Father, you're going to do so in my name. In my name. You know, in Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus taught him how to pray, you ever notice at the end of that prayer, it doesn't say in Jesus' name. It doesn't say, you know, we're praying this through At the end of that prayer, it just says amen. But Jesus says, when all of these things happen, I defeat death, I go back to the Father, and I am there as a mediator. You guys can still talk to God. You can still talk to the Father, but you got to go through me. Isn't that what he said in John 14, verse 6? You see, that has so much meaning. No man comes to the Father except through me. And Jesus is saying, from now on, when you guys pray, you're going to have to pray in my name. You're going to have to pray through me, because I will still be there for you as your mediator, as your advocate, as your go-between, whatever you want to call it. I will be there. You see, that's what our in Christ relationship does. Paul would say, thanks be to our God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Being able to talk to the Father is the top of the list of spiritual blessings, and those things are found in Christ. The love of God is found in Christ, Romans 8, 38 and 39. And we could go on. James 5, 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The only way you can be righteous is through Christ, and the only way your prayers can avail is through Christ. And he's telling them this, and in turn telling us that. Through me, this blessing is going to be offered unto you. He says, hitherto, verse 24, have you asked nothing in my name? You've not done this yet. We've not got to that point yet. But he says, then you can ask and you'll receive, and your joy may be full. Don't you notice something he's teaching there? The only way a Christian can truly experience joy is you've got to talk to the Father. And sometimes we downplay that a little bit. You won't find the peace. You won't find the help. You won't find the comfort. You won't find any of those things apart from talking to the Father through the Son. And we need to take advantage of that. It is there for us. It's there for those that are in Christ. And Jesus says, you'll find joy. You guys will be able to get through your roughest days because you use that avenue that I'm providing for you. He says, verse 25, these things. Now, these things is going to be a culmination of everything he's taught them. Everything that he's taught them. He says, these things have I spoken unto you in a proverb. Or if you've got a New King James, I think it says figurative language. Am I right? He says, I've spoken these things unto you in an almost like a code, if you will. I've used different ways to tell you different things. He says, but there's going to be a time coming when I shall no more speak to you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. There was a lot of things that Jesus taught that they just really didn't know how to grasp because they didn't have the full picture. But he said, there's going to be a time coming. You guys got the full picture. You're going to be able to know all of these things because it is going to be written in a book that you can hold in your lap, that you can go back and you can see all of this. Everything that we have today helps us to see that big picture. But what are these things that Jesus talked about? That he talked about in a proverb that would be hard to understand without the big picture. I wrote down a few. I made a note in my Bible. He says, I'll destroy the temple and in 3 days I'll build it again. Now, if you didn't have the whole picture, what do you think? Pretend you don't know. That's hard, right? He said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. If you don't have the whole picture, what do you know? You're kind of in trouble, right? You're kind of thinking, Lord, that's, and be like Nicodemus. What do you mean? Can a man go into his mother's womb a second time and be born? Maybe that's why he said that. He didn't have the whole picture. He said, he gives living water. When he does, a man will never thirst again. If you didn't understand this whole big picture, when Jesus told that woman that, hey, I got water that if you'll drink this, you'll never thirst again. She didn't have a clue what he meant. Well, I want some of this water. I don't want to have to come to the well again. See, she didn't understand. It says, John chapter 6, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood. If you're going to be a part of me, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And we talked about that's not the Lord's Supper, but it's talking about being consumed with Christ and putting him within us every day. But if you don't have the whole picture, man, some of those things he said was hard. He said in John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. Without the whole picture, what happens? That's tough. That's hard to grasp. He told the apostles in John chapter 13, you are clean, but not all. And he had washed their feet, and he was telling them this, you know, if you've already been cleansed, you only need to wash your feet, and all of you are clean, but not all of you. That's a figurative, proverbial saying. And what he was trying to teach them, they were prepared to do these things, but one of them wasn't, being Judas. But they didn't understand that. But today, it's easy for us to see. He says, my time has not yet come. How many times did he say that? I don't know, but multitudes of times. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. They didn't understand all of this. They didn't understand about heaven and the streets of gold and the gates of... They didn't understand. He says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. That's a proverbial thing, right? That's using figurative language to describe the relationship that he had with them. And he said, there's going to be a time coming. You're not going to have to try to figure all these things out because you're going to have it. That's where we are. We've got it. We can take and study these things and we can understand all of them because we have the complete revealed Word of God. Then and only then can we be a complete, mature Christian. And that's why we don't need the spiritual gifts anymore, because we have all of these things today. He says, verse 26, at that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. He says, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. He's speaking to these apostles and saying, you know, we've been going around and you asked me something and I'll pray for you to God. But there's coming a day you're not going to have to ask me to do that. Because when you are in Christ, remember the love of God is found in Christ, Romans 8, 38, 39. When that day comes, you're not going to have to ask me to pray to the Father for you. You do that yourself. You do that yourself. Because the Father loves you because you are in me. And again, trying to teach these guys, you're going to pray through my name and everything goes through me. We're going to have to hurry to finish. He says, verse 28, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. He's taught them that so many times. Verse 29, his disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speaketh no proverb. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. These guys think they've got it all figured out right now, right? Oh, Lord, now you're speaking plainly. We've got it all figured out. We are sure of all of these things, and everything is good. They're overconfident. They're overconfident. And Jesus knows that. In fact, in verse 31, Jesus answered them, and he says, do you now believe? Do you now believe? I mean, you got all this figured out, really? Again, they didn't have the complete picture. They didn't know what was going to happen. They're going to be completely lost for the next few days. But in their minds, they had it figured out. You see, there's problems today when we become overconfident. Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that because Paul would tell us in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, therefore to him who thinks he stands, take heed. Why? Lest you fall. You may think you have it all figured out. You may be overconfident, but there's great, great danger. And Jesus is going to bring these guys down a notch again. You guys have got it figured out. He says, do you now believe? He says, verse 32, behold, the hour cometh. Yea, is now come that you shall be scattered. It had been prophesied in Zechariah 13, verse 7. You smite the sheep and the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter. And that's exactly what Jesus says. I'm going to be on the cross. Peter, you're going to deny me, and everybody else, you're going to run away and hide because you're going to be scared. You don't have it figured out. Stop being overconfident. Let go of that pride and humble yourself. Again, that's what all of this started with in John chapter 13, that pride and arrogance that they had. And again, they're still expressing that. And Jesus is telling them, no, you can't do that. He said, you'll be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Isn't that sad? You spend all this time with me, you're going to abandon me, and I'm going to be alone. He says, but I'm not alone. He says, because my Father's with me. My Father's with me. Well, verse 33 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus is reassuring these guys, there's only one way to peace, and that's in me. There's only one way to true happiness and joy, and that's in me. You could go back to the world, but the world's just full of tribulation. The world's full of sorrow and pain and troubles and all of these other things. Only in me will you find what you need. And that is the case, he says, because I've overcome the world. I've defeated death. Well, he hasn't done it yet, but with God, it is an assurity that if he says it, it is if it had already happened. He was going to do it. And he wanted these guys to know, you got to abide in me. Go back to John 15, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you don't abide in me, you're in trouble. Church, we've got to realize if we want to have peace in this life we live, it's not found in the world. We need to be totally separate from the world and just stay in him. I appreciate your attention. If you'll bow with me, we'll be dismissed.